You ready for the word this evening? Matthew's Gospel. Glory to God. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we have said this means that the writers of the New Testament have an assumption that you are reading the Old Testament books. Is that clear? You are reading the Old Testament books. Now, Matthew's Gospel 28 and 20. He says, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. So the first verse shows us his humanity, son of Abraham, son of David. The last text shows us his deity. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. 18. And we said that brings to us an Old Testament personality. That's who he is. Mark's Gospel 1:1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, you notice that they're both using Genesis narratives. Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation. The word there is Genesis in the Greek. You find it like it's a copy from Genesis 5:1. Same here, you have the word RK, Mark 1:1. Again, the writers, and it says, according to the prophets, verse 2, which means that they want you to keep reading backwards. Okay? So Mark's Gospel 16 and 20. Oh, let's say 19. The Lord has spoken to them. He was lifted up in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. He calls him Lord, Kyrios, where you have Yahweh Adonai. That's Old Testament 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Which means he is God. That's why this is used. Luke's Gospel 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order declaring those things which had most assuredly believed among us. Verse 2, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were high witnesses and ministers of the word. He seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first writing to thee, in all the most excellent Theophilus. Let me say this quickly. You know, there are times that the Lord will lay on your heart. This is not my teaching. Just sense that to say, to give. Sometimes it's like an emergency. It's more urgent than you think. When anyone's picture keeps reoccurring on your mind, and you don't know exactly what to do, just pray and say, Lord, what exactly do you want me to do? Of course, immediately you start praying in the Spirit. Is that clear? Start praying in the Spirit. And as you do that, He gives you what to do. So the moment you see that, I'm saying this particularly when He wants you. Sometimes the person will not tell you, I have a need. Do your sense? You say, Lord, how much is it? Lord, what is it? Sometimes it's a call. Sometimes it's, Lord, how much is it? So, Lord, what exactly are you saying? And I'm telling you, in the days to come, He's going to do that a lot. Is that clear? He's going to have you speak to your mind, of course, by the Spirit within you, to give. So you must be open to the Spirit. Say, I'm open to leading of the Spirit, to be of help. Amen. To be of help. Because as He sends you help, He sends you to ask a help. And it's not always believers. Is that clear? How about that? It's not always believers. It's not always believers. Praise the Lord. Okay, so just had to say that quickly. So you're going to have him. And he could also be your pastor. Amen. Could be your pastor. It could be those you pastor. Be open. You see, if many of us are led by the Spirit of God, with you to lead on the Spirit of God, there will be fewer believers in material needs. Yeah. If many of us, you know, we yield to the leading of the Spirit. Because in the days to come, listen, there will be, for many believers, wealth to help others. There will be material possession enough to meet not just your needs, but to help others. Therefore, you must wake up every day and see yourself a channel of blessing to others. A channel of blessing to others. You don't wait till you are a millionaire. That's even wrong. That's absolutely wrong. You don't wait. So those days are here. Glory to God. Alright, well look. So Luke again shows us his audience. We said that the other day about audience interpretation. So he has a Gentile audience. We've done that already. Let's just go to Luke 24 and verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken of Christ have suffered these things to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. The word there means to interpret, diamenio. See something in the moment. In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So there is a consistency now of reading the Old Testament. Matthew, Mark, then Luke. Luke, of course, doesn't start with it like Matthew and Mark, but he ends with it. Then he says to us in 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, again Genesis to Deuteronomy, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened ear their understanding, sue near me, that they might understand, sue near me, understand the scriptures. Right. So, we said, we are given the duty to interpret scripture. Now, we have been going through this in virtually every service. How to interpret a text. Is that clear? Can we go over it again? So I said to you that the first thing is that the writers did not write in verses and chapters. As good as it is for us, and we're grateful and thankful, it might hamper our interpretation if we... Now, we can use verses and chapters for references, but it mustn't be used for interpretation. Why? Because that, the verses and the chapters are interpretations done by translators. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not correct. So, the first, very vital is that the writers did not write in verses. So I'm not saying how to interpret verses. I said texts. Okay? You can call their letters verses, but you can call it texts. So the first thing we said, right, the first thing we said is that you must detect the conversation. Now, I did say this on, that was yesterday, that a conversation could not just be the writings alone. I mean, the conversation could be what audience. That's why we brought in the fact that if you're writing to a Gentile audience, then you know why some emphases are given. But that's by the way now. So we said, where did the conversation start from? Alright? And I think I mentioned this also, how, you know, as an early, and this is good, but it's just good to give clarification. As a younger preacher, we used to, Christian as well, we were trained to quote scriptures, and I'm grateful. Now what has that done for me? Of course, in the earlier days, I'll just be quoting and quoting, that's fine, I still do it, you know, but now it helps me to meditate. Now I remember the scriptures and it's easy to, you know, think about them. That's good. But you see, much of what we're doing then was quoting out of context. And that could be very injurious. When you say something, now, you know, you can quote someone and you quote his exact words and you are misquoting the person. You can quote his exact words, but if you quote his exact word without the contextual meaning of what he's saying, the grammatical meaning of what he's saying, sometimes the cultural meaning of what he's saying, or where he's interpreting from, you are still misquoting the person. So misquoting someone doesn't mean you added to what he's saying or you took away. It's when you read it out of what he was talking about. Or away from what he was saying. So we said, detect the conversation. Where did this discussion start from? The second thing we said, you must find the grammatical context of it. Which we say, I said to you, that learn to break it into paragraphs, sentences. Now, it's assumed that chapters are paragraphs. And many times they are correct, and sometimes they are not. So it's left for you. You can't say, Lord, but you can't blame me, Lord, for starting from verse 4. It's in your word. He says, no, that's not my word. It's your responsibility. I must say, Lord, but what do I do? He said, but I thought, Shagun, no, you guys, your pastor. He said, that's why you're in trouble, right? So you can't claim ignorance, because I've told you this over the years. He said, but Lord, you said. He said, no, your pastor told you that God used human language. Didn't he tell you? Oh, Lord, you mean I shouldn't have joined that church? So the Lord's going to use exactly what I'm saying against you. And I have something against you. He said, Lord, but it's, say, don't you know the Greek word? Lord, are you speaking Greek too? So, you must look for the grammatical context. So you have to do stuff like, do the paragraphing yourself. Sometimes you leave it the way it is because it's okay, but sometimes it might not be as okay. So you have to look at the grammatical context, which is where you have the grammatical structure, I wanted to say, structure of it, where you look at the verses and all that. Then the third thing, we said, the words might not be as English as you think. Now, remember, we look at John 1. Let's go to John 1. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, when we say beginning now, beginning today, when I say beginning, if I say beginning today, beginning means beginning. It means there is no past. But that is not Bible language. The word arche, A-R-C-H-E, is used for Jesus, head of the body of Christ. Beginning. Alright? Beginning at Moses. That doesn't mean there was no past. So again, you go to Genesis 1:1, the beginning, you have the word reshith, from the word bereshith, first fruit, firstborn, oftentimes used for a new beginning, doesn't mean there was no past. So those words may not be as English as you think. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God. Word to us today is speech. But word there in the Greek is logos, subject matter. But it's not even a Greek word, first and foremost. It's an Hebrew word, daba, Yahweh. Used to speak of God's visible representation. Then John 20:22. And Jesus came, Jesus said this to them, verse 22, he breathed on and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Naturally, you would think, breathe. When I say, breathe. Of course, I think we say that, say, someone's, maybe he's anxious, say, breathe, breathe. That means calm down, right? Breathe, breathe. The guy say, I'm breathing, I mean breathe. So now here you have the word emphusa, which means to enliven an object, to blow into an object. It means to blow, actually. So you go into the Old Testament Greek, where you have the Septuagint. I said it to you before. If you take the Septuagint, which is the Old Testament Greek, and you put this word in there, a search engine, you could look for things like eastward. All those, I mentioned some, Greek concordance you can use, like strong, exhaustive concordance. We have Theas. And also you have Crudence. And they could help you to, you know, get the meaning of those words. We'll see that shortly as well. So you throw in this word there, emphusao, E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. You're going to see it in Genesis 2:7. So it's not as English as you think. Right? Now let's see another text. Matthew. Now, this one, I must admit, was a product of a review I did for a Bible translation. I couldn't have imagined it myself. I've even preached around this area till like 2019 or so, or 2020, I think it was 2020, where I had the course to interpret, to review. So I looked at the Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. I always had trouble with it, that if I remember, a preacher once said that Jesus was in the garden, Matthew 26 and 39. And then you have Jesus saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as I will. A preacher once said, you know, even Jesus, I had a preacher that I like, and he said, even Jesus in the garden, he sinned and he got himself back into fellowship. Thought that was too heavy. And you say, you know, that was his humanity speaking. And it never, used to, just has a feeling that, you know, that's his humanity. Lord, this cup will pass over me, yet not my will. I'm thinking, not your will. Not my will, sorry, your will be done. Even Jesus couldn't do it. He had to speak like a human being. Not my will, but your will. Not your will, Jesus. Okay. And that's quite, you know, interesting. And I used to have a problem with it because I didn't have an answer because it's all the Greek was clear. I checked the Greek, I felt, Lord, this is a bit funny. And I'm not like one of those guys that say, well, we'll get to heaven, we will know. I don't like that thing at all. What? When is that in your Bible? When we get to heaven, you, what heaven? We know a part, you are the one that will know a part. How's Olodo now? How do you know a part? It's always praying for you that your husband has been alive. He's always saying, we know in part. He said, we know in part. So assuming we have the part. Who has the other part? Islam? Come off it now. So I asked me one because my point was, here's Jesus. Because he like, Jesus is freaking out. He's freaking out like, oh. And he goes, what he calls it, cold feet. Jesus goes, oh, oh, sees the cross, he goes, wow. This is how it goes, Lord. Yeah, and I know stories of people who are not Jesus, who are Matthias. One guy said, deny Jesus. He said, no. They caught his hand, his fingers. Deny Jesus. He said, no. They caught his other fingers. I was saying, he's not saying, not my will. They cut his toes. They remove his eyes. Just say Jesus is not Lord. He said, no, he's Lord. I'll die for him. And he go. He didn't freak out. He didn't expect to be killed. But he's killed. Before he got killed, he didn't freak out. Jesus that expected to be killed starts to freak out. That's contradiction, right? Come on. Amen. Now, I saw people feel like, oh, I felt like that before. Oh, wait, just wait for this, you know. I've seen folks who just didn't bat an eyelid. No, they didn't. Jesus knew he was going to be raised from the dead. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they didn't freak out. Our Lord and Savior. So he says, she's just being human. Those guys too are human. And I'm wondering, you know, just tough. You know, we found guys who were tormented. People like the apostles, if you read the story of the Matthias, they were thrown sometimes into, you know, really steaming hot oil. And they go, yeah, no problem. We go in. And they didn't say, Lord, why? Sounds more like a Nigerian Christian. he says, whatever I do take out for, no matter what I find my way, I will praise the Lord. An ordinary increase in the price of sugar. Hallelujah. It's funny. I saw Stephen. Stephen knelt down, he's been stoned. He said, Lord, receive my spirit. He didn't run. And look at Philippians 1. Glory to God. 29. Paul says, for unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul said that. He said, we're not willing only to believe, but to suffer. You know, Paul too. Look at Acts 20. He didn't freak out. So were those guys stronger spiritually than the Lord? Actually, y'all just quiet, because you know where we're going, right? You're wondering, where we're going? You're looking at the verse again. Right? I did that too for years. I check it, I look at the Greek, you know, and I did quite some Greek study, because I went, there was no way out. Paul says, look, I go bound in the spirit, Acts 22, on Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witness every day, say, bonds and afflictions abide me. None of these things move me. Paul, either count I my life dead unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Acts 21. You know, when the momentum now built up to the point that Agabus now held his girdle. Now how he held his girdle was that he knew by. He went into their room and then held the girdle. And he says, whoever owns this girdle, that's Paul's girdle. I mean, that shows you how their wardrobes were like. You know what Paul's girdle was. So that's Paul. That's Paul. And he says, thus here the Holy Ghost, the Jews shall bind this man, Acts 21:11, owns his girdle and shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. And so you have 22, and he heard those things. They decided not to go. Paul says, why do you weep to break my heart? I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. He's ready to die. So, Matthew 26. What happened to the Lord? Now, in my work of translation, I now found something out that stood out. And it has been guiding me now for the past 2 years. That Jesus spoke more in Aramaic. Right? Look at the complexity. Not complex really. He spoke in Aramaic and he taught from a Greek Hebrew Bible. Right? Which is the Septuagint. And the translators are translating into Greek. So, today, now one of the things I told you that we've, translators in the last few years have recovered the meaning of some words, right? That were not available for hundreds of years. That's really interesting. Now, then I found out, because in the work I was doing, I now stumbled on something, because my work doesn't involve this, but I get to see the work. So I found out this detail, that he spoke in Aramaic, he taught from a Greek Bible and an Hebrew Bible, but he spoke in Aramaic. And his words by the translators were done in Greek. So, I now found out that the guy whose work I was reviewing now did something interesting. Now this had nothing to do with this text at all. So it was something related. And so he went to, because direct speech will be the intent of, right? You know we've done this before. When I said to you that they were not recording real time. Can you remember? Aha, good. So and of course, look at Jesus' words. Matthew 16:21-22. He says that he is going to Jerusalem to die. Peter says, be far from you. John 15:13-17. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life. Jesus was clear about his death. So the first thing I found out, are you here? Okay, was the word cup. Alright? Let this cup pass from me. So in my Greek thinking, in English thinking, I'm thinking cup of suffering. Good. And you have cup of suffering. And then the suffering comes, and I take it. But in looking at what Jesus said here, which I said didn't make sense, he knew what he was going to do. And what got my attention, right, was verse 37. He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Tarry here and watch with me. Now, the word cup is a Semitic terminology, that is more Hebrew from the Aramaic, is the word kavas. Isn't that well? This is interesting. And it's usually identified with the stork, S-T-O-R-K. Now, the stork is an animal, when it has cheeks, pay very good attention. It uses its, it begins to, you know, like pick on his breast till blood comes out, then feeds his cheeks with blood. Okay? He feeds his cheeks with blood, and it is believed, it's legendary, of course, that when the cheeks die, you know, because of its blood in them, they come alive. So the stork is seen to show so much love by giving his blood or its blood to his cheeks. So the word kavas, cup here, is often identified with tender loving kindness and compassion. Tender loving kindness and compassion. Now in Luke 22 and verse 10, where Jesus talks about his death. Luke 22 and verse 20. This cup is the New Testament. How does it make sense? The cup can be the New Testament. So the cup here must be given something. So if we use the Semitic language of this kavas, which means to give yourself over in tender mercies and compassion is my blood, which is shed for you. So if we use the word kavas there, kavas, and we say, let's try and see how it works out. Luke 22, 20. Let's see. Let's change the word cup there. To tender loving kindness and compassion. Let's see how it works. This tender loving compassion and kindness, does it work? Is a New Testament in my blood. So it flows by saying it is shed. Come on, guys. You learning something from that? Let's go by it again. This cup. You know, the cup on the table of the Passover has to be the cup in the Garden of Gethsemane. The cup in the Garden of Gethsemane and the cup on the table of Passover has to be the same. The cup on the table of Passover is about his love for us. Is that clear? Okay. Is his love and tender mercy for us. This is a new covenant. Shared for the remission of many. Now, Matthew 26. Learning something here? Does that change anything? Not yet. Cool down. Look at 39. Alright. Oh my Father, if it be possible. Now, if it be possible is not a suggestion. Right? Is what he's asking. Then he says here, let this cup pass. So I checked the word pass. Now, again, because he spoke Aramaic. Now the Greek here says para or pareltato, P-A-R-E-L-T-H-A-T-O. Now, Greek would simply say pass over or go over. And very limited. The Aramaic is avar, A-V-A-R. Now, it means to overwhelm, overflow. To overflow. So, I checked the word sorrowful. Again, in the Aramaic, is the word kamar. K-A-M-A-R. It means burning love and compassion. So, Jesus in the garden had burning love and compassion. And he said, so that brought the next statement. He is exceedingly compassionate unto death. Tarry a watch with me. So, pay attention now. Is he feeling pains? All he does is feeling pains. Hebrews 12:2 says he endured the suffering. But what is going on in him is not pain. What he has towards what he's doing is tender mercy and compassion. So watch this now. So to rearrange this properly will be, oh my Father, if it's possible, let this overwhelming passion, this undying love and tender mercy, he says, let it pass from me. Right? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Which means, pay attention here, Jesus is saying two things. I have two propositions. Is love for the world. Let the love I have, let it overwhelm. It's not as I will, but you will. Now, that's quite an idiom. It's basically saying, we are working together. This is your will. So that's what he's saying. Overwhelming love. Second proposition I have here, he says, let the love that you have for the world, that I have, let it overwhelm me. He is not freaking out. If you check it in the Aramaic, it's basically being strengthened in love for us, in giving himself for us. He's not reluctant. Rather, he's reaffirming his undying love. Does it change anything? Does it change anything? 1 John 3. There's nowhere the reluctance of Jesus is spoken of, because there was none. 1 John 3 and 16. This is John. He's there. He says, hereby we perceive the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. Therefore we ought to lay down our lives for our brother. Now, Luke 2, 22 again. Luke 22. And this flows with the Semitic translation of this, which is from Aramaic, Luke 22. Luke tells us in 44 that he's in agony. He prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So this agrees with the stock narrative of the Aramaic. It's costing him. He's such overwhelmed by love. It's not pain. It is love. And so, Jesus is not unwilling. Rather, he's speaking about an overwhelming passion and love and kindness. You out there? Praise the Lord. So it doesn't always work out. Sometimes it's not as English as you think. And I found out that quite a number of translators, some translators, they just read the English into what was said. Some words sometimes are idiomatic. Some words sometimes are just figures of speech. And like I said, knowing that he spoke Aramaic, it therefore is easier for me to interpret it from the Aramaic before I go to the Greek. Let me try to forget what I'm saying here. So it's talking about his love passing over. Because what he does next, Matthew 26, right? Could you not watch with me for an hour? 40. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. He went away, came back, this cup may pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Saying the same thing. to pass from me. He didn't say, then 43, he came and found him sleeping again for their eyes. And he said, look, the hour has come. Behold, the hour, and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Let's go. Jesus is not motivated by compulsion. He's overwhelmed by love. We'll take it from here the next time. So, sometimes these words are not as English in their expressions as we think. He's not reluctant. And you'll find anyone comment about his reluctance. Not in that way. So, number three, look for the grammatical meaning of words. We said number four, how to interpret the text. We said, the first one? Conversation. Two, grammatical structure. Three, grammatical meaning. That's what we've done. Four, what? What's the fourth one? What of the Old Testament is this interpreting? What is he talking about? What is of the Old Testament? Why? Because the writers assume that you are reading the Old Testament. Alright? Number five. What was the theology in the text of the Old Testament in question? Number six. Huh? What is the New Testament application of that interpretation? And finally, we said, how does it apply to us today? And so when it comes to interpreting Bible text, it takes a lot. And sometimes we need to be very patient to know what's going on. So Jesus was not reluctant. Rather, he's expressing divine love in the way he prayed. Are we here? Very good. Now, in looking at the leading of the Spirit, now let's go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. There is something. And verse 8. I'll instruct thee and teach you in the way which thou shalt go. This is David's psalm. I will guide you with my eye. Alright? This takes his emphasis straight away from the Old Testament story of the Exodus. With my eye. So last week we began to look at something on the inward witness, leading of the Spirit. Why am I not sure? Was that it? Why am I not sure? Why does it appear like I'm not sure? Now, there are those who say, I cannot have two... People tell me sometimes, I'm hearing two voices. Go, not go. I said, neither is God. Alright, so it's not contesting somebody. You know, that's because you've watched movies where you find the angel is on the right. And then one black guy. So that's why you think you're going to say, take it.
Take it.
That's why you have that idea. So, if that's what you're feeling, neither of them is of God. Not the one wearing white, or the one wearing black. Good. What happens to the believer is not hearing two voices, is not being sure of what he heard. So, the moment you have two voices, neither is God. Put it in capital letter. Neither. Go and say, she's the one. My friend used to say back then that some folks' first encounter with the supernatural is when it comes to marital issues. No other encounter. That's the first time they hear God. She's the one. She's not the one. No. So, what we are trying to answer here is now, which of the voices? I've said already none of the voices. So it's, why am I not sure of what I'm listening to? Or what I heard? Why am I not sure? Why? And that happens a lot. You say, well, so, I don't know. I sense, of course, I always advise you, when you go to maybe your pastor, and you want to tell your pastor you are led by the Spirit of God, don't use such words. You'll say, well, I sense, or I perceive. Like someone rightly told me, he said, I think it's being laid on my heart. Now, why did you say that? So that it makes it easier to get counsel. What do you say? God told me, or the Holy Ghost said. The guy would just say, flow with the Holy Ghost. And that's how it is. And I've seen people come and paint such stuff. And today it's not out of place because there's a lot of animation going on. Animation, animated movies, a lot of stuff you watch. So they show up sometimes as visions and revelation. Other lady who sent me something, 2018. And there were some folks who were saying some stuff about our church. So suddenly she saw a vision. So she said, I don't know, Rabbi, no, I wasn't called Rabbi then. Yeah, Rabbi came later on, so I'm not sure. So he said, I have something to say, sir. I said, okay, what is it? So she wrote, as long as I heard, I saw, I stopped reading. That shocked you, right? I saw freedom. I'm going to read nonsense. I saw what? So I read myself, said, summarize it, please. She said, I just saw. So when she was done talking, I said, what's happened to you is you feel that those guys criticizing me and our church will affect our church. So you had a vision. She said, if you know me very well, you will not see that vision. That's how I answered. It's 4 years ago. Yeah. Sorry, I hope I'm not crossing my boundary. I said, you ask God that, not me. There are folks like that. They just, you know, and you know, it's not easy to see some stuff, particularly when I've been fed the word. I didn't read it. I don't really read things like that. I don't read them. I'm the pastor of the church. God's going to talk to me about the church, not you. That's simple, right? Yes, thank God. Whatever you saw, keep it to yourself. I don't care. Amen? Now, if I said, well, you go pray whatever God spoke to you, you let me know. I've given you the authority. Simple, right? That's how it works. So, it's good to know so simple things. It's all very simple. I didn't read that. I just said, forget about it. That's how it works. I was in a Holy Ghost meeting years ago. And then, we're having a great time. And this sister, she gave her the microphone. Come say something from the Lord. She said, Everyone's rejoicing and we go, she said, the Lord just showed me now. That people who are doing these things you are doing, giving prophecy, word of knowledge, are in hell. I said, oh, Jesus. I looked at Larry's face, I said, Bishop, why? From that point, we never allowed that sister, not even pray loud. That's how it works. The elders that Moses chose, they came back. That's what they did. Said, well, the land is full of people with milk and honey, but Caleb and Joshua, by the time they were trying to intervene, the deed had been done. So when Joshua took over, he chose those guys privately. Shall you go check? When you come, come here directly. Let me be the one to tell the church. You know? And you know some guys like that, they don't know how to prophesy privately. Say, can I not tell it out to say it here? The grace on me is to say it. Are you out there? Now, this is an advice for you pastors. You know, there are some guys like that, when they flow in believers' meetings, but how many are in believers' meetings? You're already talking about the local church that you belong to, that sent you to that believers' meeting. There's a problem. You say you minister to yourselves. That's it. I just see the body of Christ in Nigeria. Ah, here. That's family spirit. There's familiar spirit and there's family spirit. That's what we're going to say. Saying, Lord, you're saying that. Don't take Okada in Lagos. Just be careful of Okada. As one of K finished, you look for etc. You don't get it. Don't take Okada. Stop that nonsense. Minister, okay? Yes, sir. All right, good. So, are you there? Those are things that people see. And they see very funny. Very funny things. And some guys, the way they minister is, because you've watched some Yoruba films where people go to herbalists and they say, what I'm seeing. Well, must you always see bad things? My dad had this guy that used to come to him. And so one day he came, he said, "Wah." He said, "Come, come." He said, "Why are you always seeing bad things?" He said, "Wait! You've never come here to tell me I'm going to buy a house? You never come here to tell me?" I couldn't laugh. He said, "Look, don't come here again. I'll come and make, how did he say it? It's your back, he said it. Don't come and use death to say, I'm not afraid to die." Say, "Don't come here again." That's how the guy stops it. You know, don't get yourself under such people. They could be manipulated. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's why it's good to check doctrine of people before you listen to them. Alright, good. So we go. Why am I not sure? Okay? The first thing is that you are in this world. Though the song says, though in this world, we're not of this world, but we are in this world. In just like in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 2, God said, "I led you in the wilderness, Midbar, Upper Midbar." The wilderness is used for the uninhabited place, where there is no spirit. And we are in this world. That's the thing. We are in this world. So, because we're in this world, we are susceptible, that is, we are open, near vulnerable to the pressures of this world. I didn't say pressure, so pressures. Or prayer. Midbar. Look at Ezekiel 36. It's uninhabited place. And if you look, if you look at the motif of that, you'll see it in Genesis 1-2. Without form and void, right? Tohu bohu. That is chaos. We're in a chaotic situation. Paul says, they'll say there's peace, but it's destruction. So, in Ezekiel 36, now, in 26 to 27, we talked about a new birth, new heart, new spirit. Then it says to us in 33, "Thus said the Lord God, in that day that I shall cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled where it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by, and they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities have become fenced and are inhabited." Now, notice in Isaiah 40 and 3, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." So desert is this world. Alright? But God leads us in this world. Why does he have to lead us at all? Because without him leading us, we are in a desert. That's why he has to guide us. If everything was fine in our environment, he need not guide us. He need not guide us. Not at all. So, what happens to us here is, as we walk in this world, we pick up information. We pick up ideas. Information, ideas, thought patterns. You know, we pick up theories. Now look at Genesis 35. We had Jacob and his children. The Lord said to him in verse 1, "Arise, go up to Bethel. Watch what I'm about to say. And dwell there and make there an altar unto God." We did some study on altars yesterday, right? And we said it's a place of revelation, remember? Okay. "And there appeared unto thee, and there appeared to thee when you fled from the face of your brother Esau." Then, now notice when he says you are going to Bethel, he knows this is a place of revelation and appearance. Jacob immediately knows what not to do. Yet he turned to his household, pay attention now, and to all that were with him, he said, "Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean, and change your garment. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I'll make there an altar unto God who answers me in the day of my distress, what would be in the way which I went." And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hands, and the earrings that were in their ears, and Jacob did hid them under the hook which was by Shechem. Notice when they got there, in verse 9, God appeared to him. In verse 7, he built there an altar, because there God appeared to him. Then verse 9, God appeared to him. He knew that the strange gods, now that word is Nekar, N-E-K-E-R, and the strange gods, in Joshua 24:23, we find the same thing. Now go to Deuteronomy, let me just show you something quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and 16. "Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land." So he has gods of the strangers, Nekar, alien. 32 verse 12. "He made him rise," Jeremiah 32 verse 12. "So the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange god with him." Notice that. He led him, there was no strange god. Now if you back up, you know, we have been on this text for supernatural guidance, right? Come on. There was no strange god. Now, let's bring that to the New Testament because that's closer to us. The word God is the word Elohim. No strange spirit. Okay? No alien spirit. Why? Because spirits want to be believed. Spirits want to be believed and obeyed. That's why John will say, "Believe not every spirit, because spirits want to be believed." Come to the New Testament. Paul warns about idols, same thing. 1 John 5:21, "Beware of idols. Keep yourself from idols." 1 Corinthians 10:14, "Flee from idols." Idolatry. So take back to the Old Testament, we see he's talking about spirits. So, I go quickly to Ephesians chapter 2. Are you in church? Before you assume that what we're saying is, don't go into temples. No. Ephesians 2:1. "And you are the quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past," watch this, "you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Then it says, "the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. I'm sure you never imagined you were spiritually influenced. How? I was just a good guy. He said no. Paul says no. The spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. In Ephesians 6 and 12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, as Paul, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high. So, if I am in this world, right, I am in a supernatural world. If I'm in a supernatural world, I have influences around me more spiritual than they appear. Now, by observation, you notice such influences by an assumed culture in speech, in thought, in behavior, sex, money, appetite. So you know that they are being believed. Okay. So having known that, why am I not sure? Because I am in that world. So, I will need to very, very clearly to put order. So I said in my notes, acknowledge this first. That you are in this world. And this world, Paul says there's a prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2. He says there's the God of this world. Second Corinthians 4:3. And to verse 4, right? That blinds the minds of them that believe not. You know, we can get very secular in our thinking and logical and not have an understanding of the spiritual influences in our world. But how does that affect me? I'm born again. We'll get to that in a moment. First thing to know that the world we are in is spiritual. Let me say this. The moment a Christian does not recognize this, he doesn't realize this, he doesn't see it, he just thinks, well, live and let live. Everybody's doing, then he's not intelligent. No, he's not. So, we'll go back to the analysis we used last week, and I use it oftentimes, because the leading of the Spirit, let me put it like this, is God communicating in your spirit, let's say, from the supernatural world into the logical and natural world. That's what is going on. Because your decisions are taken, there's none of us who just got into a car and say, is this a car? No, this is a car. There's a driver. Oh, I'm driving. You think before you act. Now, that thinking process where you take your decisions is what is called your mind. Your mind. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, watch this very well. In verse 2, Paul says, he that speaks in tongues speaks not to men, but to God. That's important. I'm speaking, but I'm not speaking to men. I'm speaking to God. Then Paul says, albeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. He says, no man understands. Why? He says, no man understands. So, he's saying something that's legitimate, that is known to and of God, and it's in the spirit, yet he says, no man understands. Is he saying rubbish? No, he's not. Is he saying the will of God? Yes, he is. But no man understands. Why? Because you are crossing from one world to another. No man understands. Because the world where it's received works with logic, calculations, and etc., etc. Reason. It's a realm of reason. No man understands. He said, however, in the spirit, he is speaking. So, listen now. If a fellow gets up now and speaks an Hausa language, I can guess because I've heard it before. But if it goes deep, I'll just say, please, help me. If a guy gets up and speaks Igbo language, I actually started learning, but I didn't make all the classes. So my teacher is just looking at me and she's wondering, she's a member of this church, I'm saying, pray for me. I started well. I passed the first test or so. But I didn't take the second one because I didn't even read. But I'm going to get back again. I'm feeling bad really. I didn't want to learn the language. I still want to. Where are we? Okay, now, if you speak the language, what is he saying? You are not going to act on what he's saying because you don't understand it. But what he's saying is correct. So what do you do? Paul says you interpret. So which means that the leading of the Spirit also could require interpret. Why? Because verse 14. I pray in the Spirit, that's in tongues, my Spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. It uses the word akapos. Now, if we throw that in the mix of what we have been saying, aka R-P-O-S, unfruitful means is not bearing fruit. That's very similar to desert. It's unfruitful because it's not led by the Spirit. You've taken that mind to school, to the media, to the market. So that mind has been trained to think logically, emotionally, to think reasonably, but it's not taught to think supernaturally. Now, look at this. Have you discovered? I discovered this with quite a number of my early friends who were medical doctors or medical students, and every time we're talking about divine healing, there's a way they respond. You know, in fact, there's a friend I have, still have, that the long, and I noticed the fact actually, she finished from the medical school, did the master's in pediatrics, child care, began, the more she researched, she is a missionary, the more she researched, got postdoctoral fellowship, the lesser she wants to hear about miracles. Because the mind had been schooled to be logical. Very logical. So I asked her a question years back. I was late. At 2000 or something. I said, okay, what if you get to a point and the fellow has a terminal disease? He said, well, we just find a way of helping the person to the last days of his life. I said, what about sin? I said, oh, well, just felt logical. So, I discovered that in love, sometimes we talk about healing, and you lay hands and you say, healed. A good number used to say, the person is getting better. That's the language they understand. They can't hear, it's gone. What? It's coming back. Finish your medication. It's just logical. So, if you up now, you expose your mind, well, to a world. I've not said medical world is spiritually devilish. I've just given an example. The mind has been that exposed. So, it will need to be taught. Is that exposed? Why do I renew my mind? Renewal of the mind is an ongoing thing. Etc., etc. If you stop renewing your mind, something else is in there. The mind is never empty. What did I say? Empty. So, why am I not sure I am in this world? Now, that archipos, unfruitful, you see it in the parable of the sower, Matthew 13:22 and Mark 4:19. unfruitful, did not bring forth fruit. Why? In the two instances, it says because it was filled with thorns. Weed. Right? In Luke's case, it says crowded. So because my mind is crowded, right, it's not picking the right impressions. I'm not sure. Why am I not sure? Where am I not sure? In my understanding. Where am I not sure? In my understanding. So what do I need to do? I will need to interpret it to my mind. So the moment, see guys, the moment you say, I am not sure, the first thing is, don't say it. That is the voice of reason. I don't even know what's going on. Mm-mm. Take it like this. Your mind is asking for help. So if I hear in my mind, I don't think I know what's this about. I don't know what's the Lord saying. I'll say, the Lord is teaching me the way to go. He guides me with his eye. I will find out. So, because the mind works with questions and logic, you know, okay, how? I will find out. Then I can say something like, I'll pray much in tongues. I will feed on the word. And I will know. I already know in my spirit. I will know in my... Do you know that? That is how your mind works. But when you say, I don't know. The way I'm hearing voices. You keep hearing it. So, I simply say, I will find out in my mind because I know in the spirit there is the will of God for me. So, know where the issue is. The issue is in your logical reasoning. It's in your understanding. It's not in what is said. So Paul will say, Ephesians chapter 1, learning something? So the longer I bury my mind in this world, the more difficult it's going to be. And I bury my mind there, and you know, I don't feed the word, so that my mind is such that it's not used to spiritual information. It's just not used to it. It's not used to it. Starting the exercise, so praying, I just. But notice that if I now expose it to what it's used to, it's excited. Why? Because of the training. And so the more we are in this one, we engage. Let me say something here that may arrest your attention. Did you notice that? When you were younger in the faith, and you were maybe in the university, you could practically talk more and easily. Of course, I'm trying not to say what I should not say. It was quite easier to know, have a witness of the Spirit. But when you are more in the world, and now 9 to 5, and you left home 5. Between 5, okay, 8 to 5. Between 5 and 7:30, radio. Your mind has so much, many things. He said, is that the Lord? You never had that issue where you were just reading to pass. Of course, things have changed now. Even university won't become millionaires, but you have so many things. You know, and by the time we are thinking about marriage, children, you know, children's children sometimes. What do I do about, you know, a lot of things are already in your mind and you have figured things out already. So that is where the issue is. Is where the issue is. So Why am I not sure? Because I'm in this world. And even if last year, oh my God, I just was walking in the wind of the Spirit. Yeah, oh glory, what, it's such a sweet thing to be led by the Spirit. That's because you created the atmosphere for your mind to receive. If you stop those things that you are doing, sweet will become bitter. You're saying, what is this? Bitter lemon. So, Ephesians 1, Paul says, I make mention of you always in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit, or grant unto you revelation and wisdom of the Spirit. That's a better way to put it. In the knowledge of Him. Now, my focus is on 18. The eyes of your understanding, eyes of your mind, being enlightened. Look at 2 Kings 6. And whenever you are not walking by revelation, you'll find things like panic, jitters, doubt. And usually panic, jitters, fear, doubt is from logic. Logically, this is a dead end. Logically, I should not do this. Now, 2 Kings 6. Verse 12. One of the servants said, not my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telling the king of Israel the words that I just speak to the chamber. And he said, go and spy where he is and all that. Now look at verse 15. When the man of God was in early gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. A host. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? He has watched the news. He's regularly on Twitter. And that's why, see, let me say something. When you go to all those, you know how you, stop writing, I want to say something. You know why you have channels on TV? So that you can change it. You can decide what you want to watch. Now they have dual views. You don't know what you are looking for. You can see something and move to another station. And I always have a station I want to watch. I want to watch a station. Decide it. It's the same way you should use the social media. Know the pages you are going to. Don't say, can't I just be open? Open? How? Just open it and just be going down. What is interesting? Don't worry. You'll get interested very soon. You go to the one that they're showing videos or you are done with Facebook, you go on Instagram. What are you looking for? Going to Twitter. Is it that you are looking for demons yourself? Your own self. What are you looking for? One guy told me, he said, you offended me. I said, no, I blocked you. He said, why? He said, because I don't want to be what you are putting out. I said, I will have unfollowed you. It's easy to unfollow you, but some folks are posting what I have unfollowed. He said, but it's not like that. I said, I'm not that strong spiritually. So, you know, you just be suffering. So the guy came back and said, Elisha, there's trouble. Elisha was calm. He said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than with us. That's like Bible teaching. The Bible says, and I say, Pastor, fear not, okay. And the Bible says, the Hebrew word, the Greek word, say, Pastor. Ah. Like someone said, he said, you know, by the ah. Demons are troubling you, I say, Father, Lord. This is the other English. That's what he said. So he said, look at the context. Aramaic. He was a pastor. I am not sure. You know, I'm not sure, sir. So, but look at the text. Scripture says that, you know, we are heirs of God. I know. We're joint heirs in Christ. I know. As you are saying that, your mind is saying, remember, remember. I know. Because, Pastor, you are saying the word. You are supposed to say, it's not about the word. It's about something. This is resonating. So this guy was like, look, what I can see is different, sir. And he's a servant. He's been in church. At that point, he don't start doing teaching session. He said, he prayed. Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Now, he opened the young man's eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots. Pay attention. And read about Elisha. Now imagine if he didn't see it, he would have tried to run away. Come here! If he didn't see it, he would have tried to, you know, and there are things like that you'll be surprised. Look at the case of those lepers. They did not know that the Syrian army had fled. They said, let's just go. If we go in there, they didn't know what was going on. There are things that you don't overrate yourself and don't always rely on Google. What sort of us who pray in tongues, we just Google it. What to do when you, how do you, in case you don't, you're laughing. If you don't want to fail, when you are confused, you get all that on Google. If you also put Jesus is not God, you see it there. There is no God, is there? So it means that Google is desert. Everything is there. So, why not pray in the spirit? That's not what I was going to say. I just said that. So, he prayed for him that his eyes be opened. When was the last time you said, Lord, I know you are leading me. I pray in the name of Jesus that my eyes be open to see how you are leading me. Or somebody that just bothered about, Lord, I'm just going to pray this. Till I find out what is going on. The eyes of my understanding. Sometimes we overrate our mode of thinking. And these are some of us who do a lot of thinking. You can sit down and think and think and think and think and think and think and think. That you may know. So the inward witness, where is the witness of the human spirit, born again, all right, by the Spirit of God, definitely, that witnesses to, endorses, refutes a fact, exposed to it in the mind. So I said here, usually it will be logic versus illogic. The flesh versus the spirit. Sight and the supernatural. You will not expect the mind to readily see it. All the mind wants to hear is, you are safe. Now, if you say to the mind, imagine if that, let's look at that young prophet. If he heard there, he didn't see anything. And he just told him, there are chariots of fire. He would say, sir, Avenger is not real. Do you get it? Because he's not taught to think. But imagine a mind that has been fed the word long enough. When he hears that, he knows what you are saying. He knows what you are saying. He knows what you are saying. He knows what you mean. But a mind that is not fed the word will not know what you are talking about. When that fellow saw chariots of fire, two things. It's either he has heard it in the teaching session or he has seen it before. So chariots of fire, just say, what's this? You don't want to come and burn this place? Say, no. But he could recognize it. Which means that even leading of the Spirit, I need to be able to recognize what I just saw. So, why am I not sure? Because my mind is in this world. Look at Acts 6. I mean, you know, we are all subject to it. 1 Samuel 16. God sent Samuel to go to the house of Jesse to anoint a king. I mean, just like we all do. You can see, like I told you earlier on, God does not expect you to always be doing perfect things. So you find the same Samuel that had the word of the Lord, now he just saw Eliab say, ah, almost man of God. That's what he said. Almost man of God. See, man of God. He had said, look, see, you are the next. And Lord said, what are you talking about? I've not chosen him. I rejected him. He said, you look at the outward world, I look at the heart. And one thing I discovered that we'll probably pick on this next week was that he didn't even know why it was David God chose. Never, you see, don't be too, inquisitiveness and curiosity might lead you into trouble. You know, he didn't say, well, but Lord, why have you chosen David? Ah, give me gist. Tell me. No. Just leave David. Learn. So in leading of the Spirit, we also have character. Learn to be patient. Each detail will come. The most important thing is to know it is God who spoke to you. Are you very here? Are you very clear? Aha. Just it's not Eliab. Eliab looked like the correct guy. I mean, it's just about everything. And that can happen, really. I remember this fellow told me that, look, that I use this story a lot. She said she just knew that there was something wrong with this guy. Every time that he's always out of place when they are around the church. When they go out on dates, he's a perfect fit. When they come around church, the work of the ministry, the guy is out of place. She asked me why. I said, I don't know myself. I'm still looking for God's will for my life too. So, I don't come and ask me questions like that. I said, we'll just pray. And, you know, I told her what to do. And you know, she now came back. The way she even found out was funny. She just discovered the guy was gay. I said, fine. So, I didn't say don't marry him. Women can be interesting. So what are you saying? I said, nothing. Decide who or what. Or which. That's not my call. That one is your call. So, the thing is you don't find out everything. There is no way. How many of you know that? It's not able. Look at me. Look, let me say something. The way you grew in life generally. Well, I know when you were young, maybe primary school, you wanted to know everything in primary 5. But till now, you still don't know many things. And you are fine. Are you not fine? Don't expect to know everything. Know the one that you need now. Think God is just like, God is like, taste my mule. Sit down, let me just be gist to you. You know what? On the 14th of April, 2023, you went at one Uber. That driver, they have one car. You are going to buy fuel at MRS. You see how funny it is, right? That, don't worry, 2024, calm down. You enter first class. No? Seriously? Yeah. But it'll just be twice, oh? Twice. Okay, well, thank you. No! So don't expect all the details. In Acts 1, they had two folks who were qualified to be apostles. God chose one. He didn't tell them why. They said, Lord, why Matthias? Lord, nowhere. Liberosa. Legadogasa. Lord, why Matthias? You will hear the devil. Matthias, finish. Don't say, Matthias. This is why sometimes some of us we minister in the spirit. And all the Lord just say to that brother, you rejoice and you know, thank God. Maybe the storm is over. You know, say, That's enough.
Just say,
it's a blue storm.
It's a rhino storm. That's all. Be okay. He's not alien. That's all.
Don't say, Lord, why? Can you tell me why it's not alien? Give me some gist.
You now hear those strange gods that he did not leave behind. Hallelujah. It's like ministry. He just tell you, go ahead.
He said, Lord, how many members are we going to have?
You are looking for trouble. Amen. You know, that's your mind, right? Inquisitive.
I want to find out.
Even those that you work with, if God should show you everything they will do, you will say, no, Lord. Even husband, even wife. You know, some people, when they are rejoicing in church, it's like, Lord, I know the circumstance is going to change. Is husband or wife they're talking about? If they had the choice before to see everything that they were going to rejoice over later, they will prepare not to rejoice at all. So, just... I shouldn't say everything, but for now. So, logic in logic, sight supernatural. Learn, so I put here, I'll close here. Learn to trust the inward witness. Is that clear? Learn to trust the inward. The key thing is, when I pray that my eyes are suddenly enlightened, I'll know that is the Lord. This is what he wants me to do. I'm not curious. Hope I'm very curious. No, curiosity is not faith. Right? It's not faith. Faith is I trust his God leading me and I follow him. Curiosity is why does he want me to stay in Lagos? Why does he want, that's curiosity. Thank you Lord, I know you want me to be in Lagos. Thank you Lord, I know you want to do this. And I'm just grateful and I follow your leading and I feed on the word and I grow. And usually I found this out. That, now for me, this is my personal life. I can say this a bit now. Maybe years to come, I'll say it in more detail. I found it very curious, very interesting, that after like a few years, I kind of know, if God says something to me now, I kind of know now how many years he means. And as human as we are, I want to do that thing immediately. So usually, I've observed it that this is the number of years. This is how he has been dealing with me. Remember one time, Brother Copeland, it's Papa Copeland, we call him Brother Copeland for reference, and Sister Gloria, they went to meet Brother Hagen and said, look, that they started something out, and they knew God told them, but they're in trouble, that things have really gotten really bad. Brother Hagen smiled and started laughing. He said, just calm. He said, doesn't mean God didn't tell you. That sometimes is how we acted on it. Now go and look at how he deals with you. Now for him, God talks to him. And many of those things can be 10 years, 20 years. That he knows that, there are things that he hears from God. Okay, just with Lord, when it's time, you let me know. For some of us, we are too, and that's why you have to learn to the fruit of the Spirit. We're too, and, we just step into things we shouldn't step into. Anyway, the point is, how often do I pray? All the time. I'll keep praying that my eyes have suddenly been enlightened. So when we are praying in the services, take it more seriously, okay? And you pick things here and pick things there. Why? Don't forget, the reason why you are not sure is because you are in this world. And because you are in this world, every day your mind is bombarded. Every day you have new things coming to your mind. And there's nothing wrong with knowing new things. You pick up master's, PhD, you get certification, you also want to change. You don't want to see somebody see you knock at 3:10 and say, oh God, what is it now? And he said, please, can I use WhatsApp? WhatsApp where? That's the thing. He says, what's wrong with you? So you want to move to a new phone. But as you are moving, new knowledge, new things are coming. Yet the leading of the Spirit of God remains the same. So you should pray and pray so often. Amen. You learn something? Let's stand to our feet. You put your spirit.